the Talking Tigers podcast, presented by the Alabama Department of Public Health. Don't wait. Vaccinate. Protect yourself and others against COVID and flu. For more information, visit alabamapublichealth.gov/IMM. Here's Andy Burcham with another Talking Tigers podcast.
John Cohen has been on the job for 19 months as Auburn's director of athletics. His first order of business was hiring Hugh Freeze. This spring, he hired Jordan Szabo to take over women's tennis, then Kate and Chris Malvo to become the head coaches for Auburn softball. Construction continues at Plainsman Park. A new video board in the north end zone of Jordan-Hare Stadium is on the horizon. All of that with the new world of NIL and the transfer portal. A look back at 2024 and a look ahead to the 24-25 season. Among the topics with John Cohen in this Talking Tigers podcast, brought to you by Alabama Public Health. Welcome to the Talking Tigers podcast. Always thrilled when we get an opportunity to talk with Auburn's director of athletics, John Cohen, now 19 months on the job. Welcome, War Eagle.
Thank you, Andy. War Eagle.
As you get ready for another athletic year, what are the summer months like for you following SEC meetings in the spring, SEC football media days, ambush tours? What's the summer like for John Cohen?
Well, this summer is much different than other summers just because of the nature of what's happening in college athletics in general. Hopefully the future settlement of a lawsuit and the new frontier, you know, two new teams joining our league, Oklahoma and Texas, and certainly a new way of doing business in an athletic department with revenue share, with moving a new system forward that I think will be a great challenge. And I think there's some really good things that are going to happen as a result of this. But ultimately, we're going to have to make some really tough decisions to make sure that it works.
The one thing that I think these coaches want is regulations. What are the parameters? What are the rules? Is that a priority for athletic directors, for presidents, for the NCAA in your mind at this point?
Yeah, I'm very repetitive when I say this, Andy, and I think that you actually said this at Media Days. All we're looking for is a standard. We're looking for a structure in college athletics to where it's an even playing field. If you look at the professional level, and again, I really don't believe that this is a professional level. Yes, we will share with our student athletes from a financial standpoint, but I still don't think of it as a professional league or a professional existence. Why? Because we're trying to educate young men and women. We're trying to create family support for them. We're trying to create an environment that's nurturing. And we want this to be the most important 4 or 5 years of their lives. So I do think it's different. But at the same time, as I said before, we're going to have to make some really tough decisions to make sure that everybody's treated fairly. And the structure comes in that I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't want to look Bruce Pearl in the eye and say, yes, Alabama is going to have a bigger allotment for their student athletes in Alabama basketball than you're going to have. I can't live in a world where that exists. So we have to create some type of structure. You know, a long, long time ago in the 70s, there were football coaches that would give track scholarships to football players, and they give swimming scholarships to football players, and they give all these scholarships to football players so they could have more players on their roster and create an advantage, not even so much for their own team, but to take away the opportunity for other teams to get good players. There was a point in time where everybody got together at the NCAA and the representatives from each institution and said, yeah, we're not gonna allow that. We're gonna have a structured roster, and this is how many you can have on your team. We want an even playing field. Really concerned about us getting back to that level in college athletics, and that's where the structure has got to come from.
The Bruce Pearls of the world and Hugh Freeze and Coach Jay and Nick Kleinert and Melissa Llewellyn, they're looking to you for guidance on this. Who does John Cohen look to?
Well, certainly the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference is a pretty good one. To have Greg Sankey at our disposal during this day and time, we have the right leadership at the right time for this moment in history that's crucial. His entire staff is phenomenal, and I think we have seen over and over again, when the SEC makes decisions, others will follow. And I'm not saying that's going to happen in the future, but I think it's going to happen. And it goes way back. It predates me. It predates Greg Sankey. The power of this league, the competitiveness of this league has been followed in terms of policy and in terms of the inventiveness. And I think that's going to continue.
How much do you talk to others in your spot that you've worked with, the Greg Burns and the Scott Stricklands of the world, that are going through this exact same thing at Florida and Alabama and elsewhere in the Southeastern Conference?
Daily. Greg Burns, you know, is a really close friend. And I know I shouldn't say that out loud, but I'm going to say it. I mean, he hired me at Mississippi State. We were together at Kentucky. Scott Strickland's a great friend. Mitch Barnhart's a good friend. Yeah, we're all trying to figure this out together. Right. And the minute you have the idea that you're the smartest guy in the room and you're going to figure it out, you're in the wrong place, because this needs to be collective thought, collective imagination. It needs to be groupthink. And I think that's how we're going to get through this.
We could spend the whole podcast talking about this alone, but I want to move on to other pressing topics at Auburn. Let's look back. Before we look now to the future, I want to talk facilities, because we're seeing that on this campus right now. Let's look back on the 2023-24 athletic year. Southeastern Conference championships in equestrian, men's golf, men's basketball, a national championship in golf. When you look back on a season, are you looking back on championships? Are you looking back on all SEC, All-Americans, SEC honor roll? What do you, when you look back on that, what are you saying? Yes, this has been a successful year at Auburn.
Yeah, it's really simple. I did this as a coach, and I've done this as an administrator. I've done this my whole life. What are we doing well? What do we need to improve on? I mean, it's a pretty simple thing, and it's really simple in men's golf to say, well, we're doing that well. Do we really need to improve? Of course. No, nobody is into self and team improvement more than Nick Kleinert. And we want to do some things for his program. And we want to do some things for our women's program, because they finished in the top eight in the country. Right. They have an exceptional program. So you're really helping two programs at one time. And they have some needs. We want to help our softball program. Baseball, we're building one of the great facilities in the SEC. It's going up even as we speak. And that's exciting. But we need to do some things in softball as well. The north end zone is something that looms. You know, one of the biggest items we have on our wish list is the north end zone. And we're excited about that opportunity as well. There's some things we need to do in the arena to make our basketball coaches' lives a little bit better, along with our student athletes. So we are constantly trying to make sure that we help our student athletes and our coaches get the things they need to compete at the highest level.
When you look back on championships this past year, what got to think a national championship, anytime that occurs, that's one of the pinnacles of a season. But when you look back on 23-24, what stands out to you?
Yeah, I think the golf title was really big. And I actually had the good fortune of watching that with the commissioner of the SEC, who takes incredible pride in the fact that that's yet another national championship won by an SEC team. And I watched it with our president, Dr. Chris Roberts, who, you know, along with his wife Tracy, are intimately involved with all these teams, know the kids, know what they have done in the past. And I think that was an incredible moment. Being at the SEC tournament, obviously, in Nashville, I think Nashville does such a great job with that. And what happened there, we turned that arena into an orange and blue event.
Auburn orange and blue.
Yes, right, exactly. That was an incredible coming together of Auburn folks. But I have to tell you this, you and I, before we went on here, we're talking about the Cal game. That was an emotional game for me. I'm just going to be honest with you, Andy, I had no idea how many Auburn fans would show up in California to watch us take on the Cal Bears. So when we did the Tiger Walk into the stadium, it wasn't dramatically different than Jordan-Hare. I mean, that was an emotional moment, because that's when you realize you're at a place that's about, you realize Auburn is different, and that's one of the reasons.
An equestrian SEC championship, another for that program in Jessica Braswell's first year as the head coach. Both Auburn basketball teams in the NCAA tournament. do you see these programs taking those steps forward in your mind?
You know, Andy, as a former coach, when I look at Jessica, I see somebody who just has a look on her face like, we're getting this done.
Yeah.
I am not satisfied with where we are. I have been a part of this program for a long time. Just her facial expression of, we're going to get this done is, I mean, that says it all to me. And she's someone who works so diligently every day to make that program better. And it's already the elite of the elite. Our new tennis coach, Jordan, who's been all over and just announced two commitments just the other day. He's going to do a phenomenal job just coming off a national championship at Texas A&M. And of course, Chris and Kate Malvo coming to us from Tennessee, and what they did at Tennessee was astounding. Their love for each other, their love for the game, their love for this opportunity just comes seeping through their pores. I mean, they're just wonderful people and so excited about the future of those programs.
Your first hire as athletic director was the football coach. And we're seeing what Hugh Freeze is doing now as he gets ready for his second season on the Plains. I'm going to ask you about the hiring of Jordan Szabo with women's tennis and Chris and Kate Malvo in softball. How involved are you in those hiring processes? And who also are you relying on? Because I just from afar, I remember the hiring of Hugh Freeze. And one thing was, you kept it pretty close to the vest.
Yeah.
How meticulous you and Auburn are in going out and hiring a head women's tennis coach or head softball coach, co-head softball coaches.
Well, sure. You know, we have a list of things that are important to us, a list of characteristics, a list of questions we need to have, a list of background issues. And we go over that list. And I have a staff. Lee Van Horn is tremendous. Janam Paul has been so instrumental and so many of our hires. Rich McGlynn has been phenomenal. Red Hobart, I could go on and on and on. We have the input of our staff, for sure. Tim Jackson's been a great help. We have the input of our staff, but what I'm asking them to do is, I need you to find the answers to these 60 things, and then in my mind, I'll just start formulating it, and then we'll reshuffle the deck, and we'll write things down, and then we'll revisit, and then we'll write things down, and we'll revisit, and we'll talk, and we'll ask the same question to these coaches 10 different ways. We want to make sure we get the right people. Auburn deserves the right people. And that's why Hugh Freeze is our coach, because when you really looked at it, he was the best fit for Auburn University in so many different ways. I will tell you this, 19 months into being at Auburn and being with Hugh Freeze, he is actually a better recruiter than I even thought he was. And I thought very highly of him coming in. I thought Bruce Pearl was a great recruiter until I came to work here and I realized, wow, he's even better than I thought he was. And I could say that about many of our coaches, especially our two golf coaches. I thought they were great recruiters, and now being around their kids and how they go about recruiting, they're even better than I thought they were. That's the most important thing, is this connective tissue between the coach and future Auburn Tigers, because they are who we are. But we have to get the right kids, and they have to not only perform, they have to be the right people, and they have to do everything we need them to do away from their field of play.
You mentioned the 60 questions. can you give us an example of one of those questions that you are, when you're hiring a head women's tennis coach or a softball coach or a football coach, whatever, give us an example of something that you're looking at that is uniquely the Auburn hire.
You know, there are several things. Number one on that list is, hey, we got to talk to former players. We got to talk to former coaches who have coached with them. We have to start that circle, to build that circle around this person that we're considering. The other thing is the social media scan, right? So we'll do a social media scan of everybody that we have an interest in. One of the important things to me is, do they have a coaching tree? So that's on the list. The coaching tree. Have they created a coaching tree? What coaching tree did they come from?
Right.
So it's just, there's so many of these things that I want to lock down on. Where did they come from? How did they get here? What's the background? What's the story? That's important to me. And Andy, listen, nobody is perfect. You never always get all these decisions right, but I can guarantee you, nobody's gonna spend more time on getting to the truth than we are.
It's a great day to get vaccinated. Many children and adults that delayed vaccination during the pandemic are still behind schedule. It is crucial that we take the steps to get everyone back on track with their routine immunizations. Children and teens can still catch up on their vaccinations even if they start late. Make sure you and your family are up to date on all recommended vaccines, including respiratory virus vaccines. Let's all do our part to get back on track. Don't wait. Vaccinate. For more information, visit alabamapublichealth.gov/IMM.
Let's talk facilities for a moment. As you mentioned, the as we speak literally, the structure is going up at Plainsman Park, the new premium seating, a new press box, club seating behind home plate, new radio booths at this point, near and dear to my heart. I think for those of us that have been around the program for a number of years, it's overdue. For you, I mean, you've been a part of big builds elsewhere, including Mississippi State. How important was this for Auburn baseball? How important was this for Butch Thompson? How important was this for Auburn?
Yeah, you know, you bring up a really good point in that what we're doing at baseball is primarily for our fan base. It offers premium opportunities that we've never had before, and it creates an SEC type of environment that we really haven't had as much of at Auburn as we've wanted to in the past, comparatively speaking. And you've been all around the league, so you've seen it all. There's several ways of looking at facilities. Are you building this for the student athlete so that they can perform better, so that they have better training options? Or are you doing it for the fan? In some ways, if you do it for the fan and you can create an environment, that helps the student athlete as well. But we have other facilities. The soccer facility is something we really need to take a close look at and work on. Our track and field, by the way, we didn't even mention any of that. Our men's team is within a fraction of a second. Leroy's team is within a fraction of a second of winning a national championship, really from out of nowhere, except if you follow what he has done.
Right.
The facility at baseball is really important, but it's just a small piece of everything else that we need to get done. And in that case, it's really going to honor the fans. Our fans are going to see shade structures they haven't had before. They're going to see premium options in terms of food and drink and seating and mobility that they've never seen before at a baseball game.
Part of that is folks that come to that facility during football season are going to benefit from the brand new premium seating at Plainsman Park as well.
The way the facility is set up on Donahue is so unique, Andy. You know this, and I'm still fairly new to this, but it doesn't take somebody who's exceptionally perceptive to know. Yeah, you watch the Tiger Walk. Anybody in that stadium is going to have the best view of Tiger Walk there's ever been. It's several different layers and heights along with the Hall of Fame Club. So what an incredible merging of two programs, the baseball program and the football program, when you put those two facilities side by side and have this great opportunity for our fans.
How does one in your spot balance facilities and increasing or enhancing facilities in a day and age where it's so we don't know what's going to happen next with regard to budgets and revenue share and that type of thing?
Well, when you look at the future revenue share, where's it going to come from? Well, it's going to come from our television contracts, but it's also going to come from premium opportunities in our facilities. Mm-hmm. And Andy, I can't tell you, at our last count, we had 106 accounts, 106 different accounts, not people, accounts, who are interested in having a suite at Jordan-Hare. There's a demand here, not only football, in every one of our facilities, there's a demand for premium options. And we're going to look at the arena. We're going to have more premium options at the arena. But this is the future of viewing college athletics. We're going to be very aggressive in this area because it's critical not only for our fans, but it's also for revenue that's going to help us compete in the next generation.
We know of the new video board that's going in the north end zone following this season. How quickly following that will we see the potential plans for the north end zone at Jordan-Hare Stadium?
Yeah, certainly this is a process. This university is owned by the taxpayers of the state of Alabama, so it's a very carefully orchestrated process, and we're working through that process right now. It all starts with our board of trustees. and their thoughts. They've so been so incredibly supportive of athletics. Of course, when you're around that group, their love of this university, their passion for this university is really unmatched. So it's got to go through that process. And it's my job to move that along, hopefully in a timely basis. But a lot has to be done. You have to cross every T and you got to dot every I before you put it in front of these groups that are so influential on our campus.
Do you have an idea in your head what you want to see there?
I do, okay. And I don't want to say it out loud, okay. But it's an aggressive timeline. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen, but we're going to try. We're going to really push this, and we're going to try.
How much does it help that you've been through this before?
I wasn't part of the process with the North End Zone at Mississippi State. Scott Strickland did an incredible job with that. Greg Byrne actually started that process. I wasn't intimately involved with that, but I was taking notes. With the baseball facility, Scott Strickland started that. I finished that process, learned an incredible amount about how the process works and how closely you have to monitor from start to finish. You really have to trust people, but you have to keep both eyes open when you're going through that process.
How self-assured do you have to be to look at this and go, this is the right time to do it?
Well, Andy, I've said this to our staff before, and maybe this is just the Southeastern Conference, but I've never been to any facility in the SEC where they had premium seating in any sport in which an administrator or a fan said to me, gosh, why did we build this? You know, this doesn't make any sense for us. Why did we build this? Nobody's sitting here. Nobody buys these seats. I mean, if you look at premium around the Southeastern, they're awful.
Right.
They're wishing that they had built more. At every one of these institutions, we played at Vanderbilt this year in football, the adjustments that they're making, certainly, it's all about creating a premium experience for their fans as well. In this day and age, it is definitely, and pardon this quote, but if you build it, folks will come. There's no question. We just made some additions underneath the stadium, our locker room club. We sold that out in 3 days, Andy, yeah. And it's going to be a really unique old school structure, just like our Hall of Fame club over in baseball, with access points to the playing surface itself. So excited about that. Hey, are people going to buy into this? Are they going to come? Well, of course they are, because they're Auburn people and they want access and they're passionate about this university.
5 straight home games to open the football season. How does that come about?
Well, certainly it's scheduling with the Southeastern Conference. We get to name our opponents for non-conference games. We get to make that decision, those 4 games currently. But the SEC helps, and they have to juggle bringing in 2 new teams into the league, which was a little bit of a scheduling challenge, and I think the league does an incredible job. Do we want 5 games in a row? Absolutely not. Do we want to play at 11 a.m.? Absolutely not. Maybe in late October, November, that's good for us, but it's just the way it is. It's a very difficult challenge to manage 16 schools' football schedules along with their 4 non-conference games at the SEC level.
Did an interview this morning with the play-by-play voice at Oklahoma, Toby Rowland. And he asked me, all right, when Oklahoma comes to town at the end of September, what do Oklahoma fans need to be ready for at Auburn? One of the things I said was, I think you will find a welcoming group until game time. I think that is the case, though, with regard to the Auburn family, and especially for a school that's coming to Auburn for the first time. They want those folks to enjoy their time at Auburn.
I agree, Andy. I think our fans are welcoming. I think that our fans are excited about these new opportunities. They're going to be excited about going to Norman when that time comes. I think they're going to be excited about going to Texas. I think this is good for the league. We have made the SEC better. Now, having said that, when this all came about, I remember folks, even media people asking me, hey, you're going to have to go play at Oklahoma. You're going to go play at Texas. And I just look at them and go, you know, we play in Tuscaloosa. We play at LSU. We play at Texas A&M. We, you know, play at the Swamp. You play at Georgia. I mean, listen, these are great additions to our league, but I don't think the current members of the SEC, you know, are going to experience anything that they haven't seen before at any one of our other venues. I hope that's not critical.
I've never known you to back down from a comment. We spent a day together last week, as we're recording today, in Houston and in Dallas with the Ambush Tour. You and Coach Freeze, Coach Pearl, Coach Burrell, Coach Kleinert, Coach Braswell. Houston for lunch and Dallas for dinner at two Ambush Tours. The term Auburn family comes up a lot. And we talked about just examples of the Auburn family. One was the national championship celebration at Toomer's Corner, with most of the students gone and the thousands of people that flooded to Toomer's Corner that evening to watch and to celebrate that men's golf championship. You've already made mention the championship, Auburn's run at the SEC men's basketball tournament in Nashville. And by the time that Auburn played Florida for the championship on that Sunday, that was Auburn North.
Yes.
That's a day in my career, I will never forget what it was like to walk in there early and then watch that place fill up with mostly Auburn people that day. To watch a baseball team this past year and watch record crowds come to Plainsman Park. I mean, those are just examples of the Auburn family. What have you learned in your 19 months at Auburn about the Auburn family?
Well, I'll give you a great example. This past Sunday, I was in Tuscaloosa at a send-off party at Babs Anderson's house. And by the way, Babs has been so incredibly supportive, not only for our athletic department, but the entire university. And she has a send-off party every year for the kids who live in Tuscaloosa County who are going to come to Auburn, the freshmen. And, you know, several of these kids have parents who went to Auburn. And what really stuck with me is when you talk about things like the creed with these parents and these kids, they know it. Mm-hmm. That was part of the reason they want to come here. Part of something that's affected them for their entire lives. They can recite the creed, and they talk about instances in their lives where the creed has helped them. Andy, I've been at great institutions at the SEC. I have, and I feel incredibly fortunate to have been at these institutions. I've never seen that. A group of students, a group of alumni that are so closely bound by this creed and the spirit of an institution that means so much to them. It's moving. And this is, in my opinion, this is really what makes Auburn different.
What do you see out of the leadership of student athletes at Auburn? Those that are not only excelling on the court or on the playing field or in the pool or on the golf course, but are also excelling in life as far as leadership with this league and beyond.
Well, we have so many, and you know, one that just jumps out is just Dylan Cardwell, right? I mean, Dylan Cardwell is going to be highly successful. I think he's going to be a successful basketball player, not only here, but at the professional level as well. But, you know, it's funny, I was just saying this group at a send-off party. Dylan Cardwell is willing to cross the room and say, hello, my name is Dylan Cardwell, and it's an honor to meet you. And that is Auburn. And so many of our student athletes have that ability to make eye contact, to walk across the room, to shake someone's hand, and to share part of their world with somebody else. And it's moving. And again, this is something that's really special. And Dylan's not the only one. He's just the one. Right. He's the biggest one. He's just, you see that out of so many of our athletic department personnel, but also our student athletes as well.
Allow me to go off script here for just a moment. You and I are both Jack Buck fans. Here's my Jack Buck story for you.
Yeah.
And I've read his book, and he's one of the people that I grew up listening to and wanted to emulate. When he was Jack Buck and everybody knew who Jack Buck was, he never stopped when he was on the watching BP, just walking up to a rookie player and going up and introducing himself. And the rookie player knew who Jack Buck was, but Jack Buck never took that for granted. That's my Jack Buck story. Here's someone that was a legend at what he did, but he never tried to use that to his advantage. That's my Jack Buck story to you.
I went to my first Cardinal game. My father's a huge Cardinal fan. We took my sister, Amy, to Washington University in St. Louis. My father promised me if I behaved, I got to go to a Cardinal game. And my father had those old school glasses, right? The field glasses, the binoculars. And he said, that is Jack Buck. And I saw this man with white hair, white shock of hair. And I looked up there and there was a carton of vintage cigarettes in front of him. He's leaned over a microphone just like this. He's taking the drag. And then he's doing something like, hey folks, looking for fun and excitement? How about the Ford Probe? Ground ball to Ozzie, over to Hernandez. That's two down. I had listened to that through, you know, an AM radio, just like you did most of my life. And when I went to school in Starkville, Mississippi, the local radio station was carrying Cardinal baseball.
Yeah.
And I drove my teammates crazy because I think they were all Braves fans. But yeah, Jack Buck is somebody that was so special to me and my father. It's one of those things we shared, this love of the Cardinals and Jack Buck. Was probably a weak Jack Buck.
Pretty good. All right, as you look ahead to the 24-25 season coming up, what excites you? What are you looking forward to the most?
I'm looking forward to our football season. I know the five games in a row is going to be a little taxing on our fans and our staff. We're going to get through it. We're going to get off to a great start. I'm really looking forward to, you know, all of our fall sports. Volleyball continues to get better. Soccer, forward to a great season from soccer. There's something really special about the fall because that air starts to cool down a little bit and you get those crisp autumn days. There's nothing like that, especially in the Southeastern Conference. So we're excited about that opportunity. And then, the kids really never leave campus now, but when they come back from the ones that are in summer school and they come back in August and they're all here and that traffic gets backed up on campus a little bit, there's just this energy on this campus. And you know something special is about to happen. So we're excited about the fall.
Thank you for the visit today.
Thank you.
Look forward to our next one. War Eagle.
War Eagle, Andy.
For John Cohen and the Talking Tigers podcast, brought to you by Alabama Public Health, I'm Andy Burcham. Be strong and be courageous. War Eagle.